reading comes from the prophet Amos, chapter 6. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations, to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass on to Cana and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? O you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and like David invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore they shall not be the first of those who go into exile, and the reverie of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. This is the word of our Lord. Our epistle lesson for this morning comes from Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 3. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. The deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone shall rise from the dead. This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. About 2 months ago, I had the opportunity to preach on the text of Luke 10. It was a story where Jesus gave that story of the Samaritan as he went and helped his neighbor. But remember how the story began. A teacher of the law, or what we might call a lawyer, came to test Jesus. And he asked Jesus, how can I inherit the kingdom of God? And what did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. But the lawyer wanted to take it one little step farther. And he says, well, then who is my neighbor? And I remember sharing that day about how we discovered who our neighbor was. And I gave the congregation some examples that day. But today we come to the book of Amos. And in the book of Amos, it's then determined, if we determine who our neighbor is, then Amos is given an opportunity, then how are we treating our neighbor? And that's what Amos is sharing with us this morning. So how are you treating your neighbor? I'm sure many of you have your own different charities that you give to. I mean, we get things in the mail all the time. I mean, from the heart, from cancer, the disabled American veterans, St. Jude's. If you're a good Lutheran, you get things from Lutheran Hour Ministries or Bethesda or one of the Concordias. I'm sure each of you have your own charity that you give to. You find them in the mail all the time. Or maybe when you get those in the mail, you just dump them in the round file. Maybe trying to take care of yourself is a full-time job, and that's about all that you can do. But you see, when we both look at the story of Amos, and also in the gospel, we're called to take care of our neighbor. We're called to help for those that are in need. I mean, last week, if you remember, the reading from the gospel was the story that the dishonest manager and how he wanted to get by and had to help from his friends after he was going to get fired. But it was a call for us to use our finances to help spread the gospel news. Use what the Lord has given us to go out in this world and tell the story of Jesus. And today we hear how we're to take care of our neighbors. But you see, we must remember the fact that our neighbor may need financial help, but he also may need spiritual help. For you see, yes, those are people that lack the basics of life, that are down and out because they need help just even to be fed. But you see, those that are also down and out that maybe they've never heard the story of Jesus and the story of the love for them. Yes, you and I are called to share and be good to our neighbors. And this morning, I'm going to share with you how to care for the Josephs, as Amos puts it. And I'll share with you who those Josephs are. But you and I are called to take care of our neighbor this morning. How are we doing? And that message is not for just you, but it's also for me. How are we taking care of our neighbor? Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let me take you to our text this morning. A prominent person has died, either in Israel or Judah, and all the dignitaries have showed up. Now, I had to share with you, when I was putting this sermon together, it was a time when Queen Elizabeth had passed. And there was nothing else that seemed to be on TV except for that. And I thought about all those dignitaries that were coming to her funeral. And I thought, surely none of these people would be like those that were not taking care of the needy. But Amos was calling out the cream de la cream for their pampered prosperity and their banquets, and ignoring those that were in need and poor. They were lying on their ivory beds. And if you looked up and studied this a little bit, and especially in archaeology, when they dug up Samaria, what did they find? They found those ivory beds. Yes, that's what they were lying on. Eating choice meats, while those in poor and need maybe only got meat three times a year at very special festivals. Yes, you see, Zion and Samaria were living the high life. They were living high on the hog, as we might say. But Amos was pointing out to them that they considered themselves to be pious and godly, just like King David. But you see, they were living the lie, lying around, drinking, eating. I mean, it wasn't just good enough for them to have a cup of wine. They had to drink it out of bowls. They didn't serve God. They were only serving themselves. And so in the midst of this party, hearty atmosphere, they were oblivious to the ruin of their nation. I mean, they did not grieve over the ruins of Joseph. And if you go back to the first part of the book of Amos, that's exactly what was happening. I mean, they were turning away from God, looking to themselves. And when the enemies came, they were defeated. And those actions impacted those that were in need. But don't we see that today? Don't we see that around the world? That those seem to be in need so much, we put off to the side, discard them. At times we forget. And thanks be to God that some of our churches reach out to those in need. And thanks be to God for you people as you care for those that need help. But you see, they acted like the poor didn't matter. I mean, we always got the poor with us. So what does it matter whether we take care of them or not? And so Amos calls them out as Joseph's. Remember the story of Joseph? Go back to the Genesis, the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob. Now, we remember the story. Jacob had a lot of sons. But Joseph was his favorite. And his brothers could see that. And they despised Joseph for it. And Jacob made his son a coat of many colors. And so one day, the brothers, except for Joseph, were off tending the sheep. And so Father Jacob says, go out and see how your brothers are doing. And so Joseph takes off to Shechem. And the brothers weren't there, but they went on to Dothan. And they could see, the brothers could see far off as Joseph was coming with his coat of many colors. Well, here comes the dreamer, they said. And so let us take care of him. And so what did they do? They dragged him and put him in a cistern. Put him away as they took his coat and dipped it in blood. And the Midianites were coming by on their way to Egypt. And they sold their brother off to them. And Joseph went off to Egypt and ended up working for Potiphar. But remember, Joseph was a handsome young man. And Potiphar's wife was seduced him, said, come to bed with me. And yet Joseph said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? But the spurned woman ended up putting Joseph with her accusations in prison. Now we know the story that Joseph saw the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. And ultimately, he saw the dream of Potiphar. But it's 23 years it took him in prison till he got to be the second in charge of Egypt. And so isn't it fitting that Amos calls those Josephs who were down and out as Joseph cried out when his brothers threw him in the cistern and sold him off? And what did they do? They sat down and enjoyed a nice meal while they put their son, brother, down in the cistern. So you see, then Joseph symbolizes those that are poor and needy. But yet, both the elite and the oppressed were rescued by God, so they could be a community of brothers. Yep, we see that picture today. Those that have and those that have not. But see, that was the picture of our gospel this morning. Did you listen to those words? The rich man and Lazarus. Just read it to you. The rich man died, Lazarus died. The rich man had it all so good on earth. And Lazarus laid at his door, hoping just to get a crumb from his table. Yes, are we just indifferent to people? Do we even care about those in need? This is what the dignitaries were doing in the days of Amos. They were ignoring God's just call for justice and righteousness for those in need. I'm reminded of a story years ago back in the 70s. Maybe some of you remember Frank Layden was a coach of the Utah Jazz and National Basketball Association. Well, Frank had a problem with one of his players. And he called him in and looked him straight in the face and says, what's going on? What's wrong? I don't understand you. Is it ignorance or apathy? Well, the young player looked at him and says, Coach, I just don't care. I don't know. Far too often, ignorance and apathy describes our life at times. I mean, at times we can go by, see their need, but just walk the other way. Sometimes we're like the ones in the Good Samaritan. We don't want to see where someone's in need, and we go off in our own way. Yes, too often we say in our breath, I just don't care. Or maybe how about the story happened in New York, and I can remember this. It was all over the news. 38 people watched out their window as a young girl was being attacked, and ultimately she died. 38 people looked out and saw it but did nothing about it. They figured that someone else would call the police on the situation. Yes, they didn't want to get involved. How about you and I? Do you and I want to get involved? Or do we want to just say, well, I want to take care of myself first? But see, there's a solution to all this. A solution of our times' apathy. A solution at times our ignorance. A solution to the times when we're treated like Joseph. And that solution is one who was despised, who was rejected, a man of sorrow, who was mocked and spit upon, beaten, scourged, betrayed, denied, and abandoned. And ultimately, he was put on a cross for your sins and mine. For all those times we were ignorant, for all those times we had apathy, he went to the cross for you and for me. And brothers and sisters, I do not want you to walk out these doors this morning without knowing that every last sin has been paid for. See, Jesus came, as we know in John 3, 16, 17. He didn't come to the earth to condemn the world. He came that the world might be saved through him. But you see, Christ's love is opposite of the partygoers that we heard in Amos. I mean, think about it. Think about it in the waters of baptism, that you were washed clean and renewed, that his love was poured out, his grace, mercy was poured out on you that you might wear the robe of righteousness. And when you come and partake of his very body and blood at this rail, you think of what he has done for you, that he's poured out his life blood so that you can have the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of your faith. See, Christ's love and power has been given to you so that you can go out into this world and share with your neighbor, to be there for those Josephs that are in your life. We're called to grieve over the Josephs and to attend to their needs. We're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. Yes, we're called to share with those that are least among us. Those that are down and out, those that are fallen, we're called to be there to lift them up. Yes, each of us, because of what Christ has done for each of us, we're called to reach out and share his example. For those that are in need, you and I are there. I pray for each of you today, as you go out in this world and you share with your neighbor, and we take care of those Josephs that are in our lives. May you be blessed as you go forward in the world to do that. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.